Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Viva Energy Australia conference call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question via the phones, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Scott Wyatt, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you all for joining this morning to discuss today's announcement. My name is Scott Wyatt, Chief Executive Officer of Viva Energy, and on the call with me today is Jevan Bouzo, our Chief Operating and Financial Officer. As always, before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we're collectively gathered for this call and to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. This morning, I'm pleased to announce that Viva Energy has reached an agreement with Coles Group to acquire its convenience retailing business, concluding the alliance agreement, which was due to expire in 2029. Over the last 20 years, Viva Energy and Coles have worked together to become one of the leading fuel and convenience retailers in the country. It has been an extremely successful partnership and a central part of our broader retail business. As we look to the future, we believe it is critical for our company to more directly participate in the convenience business so that we can evolve the broader fuel and convenience offer and capture growth opportunities in this fast-moving convenience segment. As you will recall, we set out this strategy at our Investor Day last year. With today's announcement, we will accelerate our transition to becoming a fully integrated retailer, and in doing so, create the largest single-branded fuel and convenience network in Australia under a single operator. We will acquire all of the assets and infrastructure of Coles Express business, with the transition of about 6,000 team members, a sophisticated industry-leading and team-driven operating platform will be created, which will drive our future success in the retail market. We will maintain a partnership with Coles, continuing to cross-promote and redeem shopper dockets from Coles supermarket customers and access to Coles products under a product supply agreement. We will be joint participants in the highly successful Flybuys loyalty program and expect there will be other areas of cooperation as we develop our respective businesses into the future. Our sites will continue to be branded Shell, but over the next few years, our storefronts will be progressively rebranded to reflect our own identity. Combined and supported by a truly national supply chain, we will clearly be number two player in both the fuel and convenience sector, which I believe gives us a compelling and strong competitive position to grow into the future. We are very excited about this development and look forward to welcoming the Coles Express team to Viva Energy when the deal completes during the first half of next year. As you may recall, Viva Energy held its strategy investor day in November last year. Together with the executive team, I laid out the company's transition and growth plans into the next decade across our three businesses, retail, commercial, and the energy hub. Our retail strategy is summarised on slide four. With today's announcement, we are acquiring a capability which we believe is necessary to consolidate our leading position in the fuel and convenience sector and develop new growth pathways within the retail business, which may not have been possible under the existing arrangements with Coles. The convenience segment has enjoyed strong, consistent growth, with the Coles Express business outperforming the market and regarded as one of the leading convenience businesses in the country. The business performed particularly well during the pandemic, which has in many ways accelerated consumer demand and expectation for convenience offers. Over the long term, we expect the role of convenience to continue to grow, and our network is well placed to service the need for on-road or on-the-go convenience needs of consumers. We will need to evolve our offers to cater for new forms of mobility, a wider range of food and convenience, and extensions to other categories which will benefit from a large network with close proximity to suburban population centres and on major transport routes. We expect this to extend beyond the traditional fuel and convenience offers that are more aligned to grocery supply chains, and that new partners and investments in stores will be required to capture these opportunities over time. Creating a single retail platform, the largest in the country, will allow us to pursue these strategies more quickly and efficiently than under the current model, and give us access to direct access to consumers so that we can build deeper relationships and loyalty to our evolving brand and offers. Over time, we will further expand the network operating under this platform so that we maintain a strong competitive position in what we believe is a very attractive market. The strategic rationale was clear and summarised on slide five. We believe it is critical to directly capture convenience earnings and gain greater exposure to the fast-growing market And as a combined business, we can more efficiently optimize the network and make the necessary investments and innovations which will be critical for our future success. Rather than wait for the natural expiry of the alliance in 2029, we have agreed with Coles to step in early and begin this transition at a time when sales are recovering and consumers are seeking greater convenience offers and ancillary services across the whole retail ecosystem. The opportunity to evolve and transform this business, we believe, is as strong as ever. As Steve Cain said in his release this morning, Viva is well placed to make the most of the opportunities to grow the Express business into the future. This is very much an announcement which supports the strategic directions of both companies, and we will continue to work together with Coles through the transition and into the future under a new set of partnership arrangements. In terms of the transaction itself, we are purchasing the Coles Express convenience retailing business for a headline consideration of $300 million. To be funded out of existing cash and debt facilities. We are, of course, acquiring the infrastructure and assets, but more than that, the processes and know-how which support a world-leading retail capability. This would take us years to replicate. We anticipate the convenience business to be earnings accretive as fuel volumes recover, and we expect further value from synergies associated with more network and store development and more effective marketing and capital spend. This business will be the engine room of our broader retail operations and will be operated as a standalone business to ensure we maintain the strong retail culture and focus that exists within Coles Express today. Transaction and integration costs of $120 to $140 million includes important investments we expect to make in store rebranding and refreshment, together with new digital and technology capability to improve the customer experience in the long term. These costs will be incurred progressively over the next 3 years. Let me now turn to slide six. As you will recall, under the current arrangement, Viva Energy currently takes responsibility for retail fuel pricing and marketing, collects the full retail fuel margin, and receives a royalty on convenience sales. Coles Express operates and provides the convenience offering, collects the convenience store margin, and receives a commission per litre on fuel sales. Following this acquisition, Viva Energy will operate both the fuel and convenience businesses under a standalone, fully integrated retail business model. Existing Coles Express team members, infrastructure, processes and capability will transfer to Viva Energy, and over time, the existing retail capability within Viva Energy will also be transitioned. 46 sites currently controlled by Coles will also transfer to Viva Energy, bringing the total network to 710 stores, being the largest fuel and convenience network in Australia under a single retail operator. We expect to grow this network over time through the development of new store formats and closing network gaps. Viva Energy will also introduce a new store brand to replace Coles Express. This will reflect our long-term vision of the convenience offer and be another further exciting development for the business in the near future. During the transition, Coles will provide traditional support services in areas such as IT, human resources and payroll. Over the longer term, Coles has committed to continue supplying its extensive range of Coles-branded products and provide merchant payment services. We believe these agreements will ensure operations continue without disruption during the transition period and will support the success of the business in the years ahead. Turning now to slide seven, let me talk about the competitive positioning of this new business. With today's announcement, we will create the largest fuel and convenience network under a single operator. Most of our stores are in metropolitan areas and are impossible to replicate today, having been established by Shell over the course of many decades since it started operating in Australia in 1905. We also have the right to fully acquire the Liberty convenience business in 2025. Liberty has the goal of increasing the number of its large format regional sites from 92 to 150 stores in the next 3 years. Once the integration of Coles Express and Liberty convenience sites is completed, we will have created a high-quality national network of sites located in metro, regional, and on main transport routes, putting the company in a leading position to serve the on-road and local convenience market. Slide 8 sets out the growth opportunity we see. The convenience market offers attractive and defensive growth, with sales increasing by 3.1% per year since 2014, broadly in line with the grocery market. The pandemic accelerated growth in this sector, and the longer-term appetite from customers for more convenience-driven offers, which we believe our network combined with the retail capability of Coles Express is well-placed to benefit from. To that point, the Alliance has consistently delivered higher sales growth than the market, with annual average sales growth of 3.7% between FY 2014 and FY 2022. This growth has been driven by the food to go and hot beverage categories and competitively priced grocery items, as well as the highly engaged team members within the Coles Express. Lower sales in the FY22 year reflect tobacco cycles cycling through an unusually elevated period during the pandemic lockdowns, with non-tobacco sales up 0.9%. Coles Express enjoys a high level of market share within the fuel and convenience sector, sitting in number two position behind 7-Eleven in convenience sales. We operate a similar position within the retail fuel segment at number two behind Ampol. So by bringing these businesses together, we gain a very strong competitive position across both segments, which we believe sets us up extremely well for the future. As I mentioned earlier, we are acquiring this business at a point where sales are beginning to recover and consumer appetite for more convenience-led offers is strong. Looking to the future, we believe this acquisition provides important capability to pursue emerging revenue streams across the entire retail ecosystem, as set out on slide 9. Extending our convenience offers and redevelopment of stores will provide new revenue streams, but also entice customers to spend longer in store and increase visitations. We see that already with newer format stores within both the Coles Express and Liberty Convenience platforms, and we see considerable opportunities across the broader network to replicate this. The ability to communicate directly with customers and build direct, deeper relationships is critical. Coles currently own the customer transactions, but this will transition to Viva Energy, regaining an important relationship to drive loyalty and increase sales into the future. Over time, we expect the fuel and convenience offers will continue to evolve, with electric vehicle recharging and hydrogen refueling emerging as an important part of our energy offers, and potential to leverage our substantial bricks and mortar footprint to solve problems like last mile delivery. There are many new exciting opportunities that this transaction will unlock. As I mentioned earlier, we will maintain an ongoing partnership with Coles, and this is particularly important in respect of our loyalty ecosystem, which is set out on slide 10. Through a direct relationship with Flybuys, we have access to one of the strongest loyalty programs in the market, with over 8.6 million members and 20 partners. By bringing together our fuel and convenience offers, we can create a more seamless digital experience through Flybuys and our other loyalty programs. We will continue to cross-promote and accept the Coles shopper dockets through our network and have recently digitalized this directly into the Flybuys app, which improves the customer experience as well as bringing together our two key loyalty programs into one ecosystem. This is just a great example of what is possible now that we are bringing together the fuel and convenience businesses. Let me now hand over to Jevan to explore the financial implications of the transaction we have announced today and provide some concluding remarks.
Thanks, Scott. First, I'll turn to slide 11 and cover the key financial implications of the transaction. The acquisition price of $300 million represents the approximate value of assets acquired. This includes convenience store stock, equipment and store fit-outs, and point-of-sale systems. Of the $300 million, the net impact relative to existing arrangements is expected to be $143 million. The difference reflects working capital benefits of $59 million expected post-completion, and the settlement of a payable of $98 million already recorded in Viva Energy's balance sheet. The payable relates to the acquisition of fuel stock in March 2019, when we last reset the alliance agreement. In order to demonstrate the potential of the acquisition, we've shown pro forma impacts as they would relate to our most recent full-year actual results from 2021. On a pro forma 2021 basis, we would record convenience store sales of $1.14 billion in place of $160 million of income we received from Coles under the historical alliance arrangements for rent and royalties. This significantly improves our revenue profile. It is important to remember that fuel volumes remain impacted by mobility challenges as we continue to recover from COVID-19 impacts. And as a result, we've published pro forma impacts to both EBITDA and EPS based on pre-COVID volume of 65 million litres a week and 70 million litres a week for reference. These EBITDA impacts are on a post-AASB 16 basis and in line with the way we report our underlying results today. On this pro forma basis, we expect the acquisition to deliver between $45 million and $70 million of retail EBITDA post-integration and before any further convenience sales growth or synergies. This translates to EPS accretion of 11% to 18% relative to FY21 results, with further upside from convenience sales growth and synergies. In terms of the impact to the balance sheet, we will fund the acquisition out of existing cash and our available debt facility, and with our strong net cash position reported at the half year, we will maintain a conservative capital structure following the transaction. Post-completion, we do expect to record right-of-use assets and lease liabilities relating to the 46 pad sites acquired. The remaining 664 site leases are already recorded in our balance sheet and were previously subleased to Coles under the Alliance arrangements. We also have a right to future income asset in our balance sheet relating to the $137 million paid in 2019 for the last reset. This has been amortizing over the period to 2029, and at the half year, there was $89 million remaining in the balance sheet. We expect to write this off as part of the transaction completion, and it will be treated as a significant item. Lastly, we expect to invest a further $120 to $140 million over the next 3 years to transition the business, rebrand the network, refresh stores, develop replacement IT systems, and improve digital and technology capability. This will both support the transition of the business from Coles and also set up a platform to evolve and grow the convenience business going forward. These costs and investments will be treated as significant items and will be funded out of cash flow over the integration period. Turning to slide 12, I'd like to make a few closing comments before we move to questions. First, we're acquiring an established retail platform and capability that has been optimised by the Coles Express team over almost 20 years. It has consistently outperformed the market for convenience store sales growth and will create the largest fuel and convenience network in Australia under one single operator. As part of the acquisition, we've secured a suite of arrangements from Coles to ensure a smooth transition, and going forward, our top priority will be on nurturing and growing this retail capability. Second, while Coles has been very successful with convenience retailing, it remains focused on its core supermarkets business. With the network under a single operator, we can accelerate investment and growth plans across the network, and when required, evolve the offering to suit changing customer preferences over the next decade. This will see us capture upside from convenience store sales growth, as well as potential growth synergies achieved through the integration. The third and final point I'd like to make relates to our group strategy. In November last year, we talked about convenience retail being a key pillar of the future growth in our retail segment, and we set the target of achieving more than $50 million of annual EBITDA from new earnings streams at a group level. Post-integration, this acquisition has the potential to well exceed the earnings target we set and provides meaningful growth potential for our business as fuel volumes recover and convenience sales continue to grow. On that note, I'd like to open for questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Michael Simotas from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. This looks like a very good deal for you. I just want to understand a little bit better the purchase price and how we work back from the $300 million, and in particular, where the working capital benefit comes from and how we should think about that $98 million payable, and then maybe if you can touch on the $89 million you referred to as well.
Sure, I can take that one, Michael. Thanks for the question. I think the way to think about it is, in terms of the acquisition price, we will pay $300 million. Where we talk about the $143 million, it really relates to the excess that we're paying over and above existing arrangements that are in place. The $98 million of payable that exists in the balance sheet relates to fuel stock that we acquired in 2019 as part of the reset and has been in our balance sheet ever since. So it's something that we would always have to settle at conclusion of the alliance. The excess over and above that and within the $300 million really relates to the acquisition of assets, trading stock, store fit out, equipment, and all the assets that we acquire to continue to run the business going forward. Of that, we're acquiring assets, not the entity, and in the few months post-completion, we expect to release some value from working capital as we build up payable balances on an ongoing basis, and we estimate that to be around $59 million or so. So that's how we get to the $143 million, which, as I referred to, is really the net cash or value that we will be out of pocket relative to existing arrangements in place. The write-off of the $89 million is more of an accounting entry and will obviously improve the amortization line going forward, and all that's taken into account in the EPS calculations that we've published.
Okay. And you've done this deal earlier than Coles had to accept. Did you make any concessions to Coles to be able to do this deal early? Because it really does look like very attractive terms for you, which by definition means not particularly attractive terms for them.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, we obviously, if you recall back to the Investor Day we had last year, when we set out the strategies for all of our three businesses, we were pretty clear at that point that we intended to take back the convenience business at the end of the arrangements, both with Coles and obviously with Liberty Convenience, when that comes due in 2025. It's sort of our view that we strategically need to be a fully integrated retailer covering both fuel and convenience. So I think that was a catalyst to obviously have a number of conversations with Coles about that ambition, and over the pursuing intervening period has resulted, you know, obviously in the transaction that's been announced today. You know, I think the way to think about it is that it's the right outcome for both businesses. You know, for us, we do believe that we long-term are the natural owners of the business. We've got, you know, always had a long-term connection with retail throughout our history as a company. We are obviously a credible supplier of fuel and energy needs, and in the future, as we navigate the transition to electric vehicles and hydrogen vehicles, we're best placed to do that. And, you know, I think through the association with the Shell brand, we have a pretty strong quality reputation for meeting consumers' mobility needs whilst they're on road. So all of those ingredients together make, I think, us the natural owner of the business in the long term. And for Coles, it obviously allows them to focus on their core businesses of supermarkets and liquor. So it was kind of one of those transactions, Michael, that was very sensible for both parties, which obviously made the deal easier to complete for both of us.
Okay, and then just one last quick one, if I can. You have focused on pre-AASB 16 earnings for the last couple of results, and I think that made a lot of sense given the way the leased asset and then offsetting lease liability was structured. Post this transaction, that rationale doesn't necessarily seem to be there anymore. Will you revert back to reporting on a post-AASB 16 basis?
We've got no plans to do that at this stage, Michael. I think that the overriding rationale for tidying up the segmentation in the past year or two to show post-AASB or exclude lease impacts from our results was really to align the EBITDA with the actual cash generation of the business, and that rationale continues to exist going forward. When you think about the impact that we've reported in terms of those pro forma numbers, again, that will more accurately reflect the cash outcomes of the business relative to any sort of lease impacts that we would have to see impact the overall results. And so I think that rationale to align our underlying results with the actual cash generation, allow our underlying NPAT to drive a dividend that more aligns with the free cash flow of the business still stands, and I expect that we will continue to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Grant Saligari from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good. Good morning. Actually, it's still morning. Yes, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I guess what I'm trying to understand here with the convening strategy, and I do appreciate, you know, this is a bring forward of sites you would have got anyway, but you're taking on 700 metropolitan sites. And it sounds like to make the numbers work, you need to have at least 65 million litres a week, you know, so up from sort of the current high 50s, if not 70 million litres a week. But if we roll the clock forward to a sort of a 2030 future, fuel demand is best case likely to be flat, but potentially down. So what I want to try to understand is what's the future of these 700 metropolitan sites? Do you actually need 700 in your strategy, or should we expect rationalisation over time, and that's part of the strategy? It's just trying to understand the sort of the metropolitan aspect of the network, please.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Probably two parts question. Let me just touch on the sales performance first. So, you know, we're still very much in a post-pandemic recovery phase in retail, which is still somewhat impacted by lower levels of mobility in the capital cities, particularly Melbourne and Sydney. But we are starting to see some normalisation and recovery in those markets, and certainly other markets are sort of back to pre-pandemic levels. So we can see in the short term the opportunity for this network to recover to sort of 60 to 65 million litres a week, and then potentially beyond that, if there is a full recovery and we start to see population growth back in Australia as migration starts to reopen to the 65 to 70 million litres. And yeah, that's part of the growth opportunity that we see in the immediate future, and it's one of the reasons why an acquisition today makes a lot of sense. And beyond that, we obviously see an opportunity to continue to see growth and convenience, but extend that by broadening the range of products and services that we offer. Now, in terms of the network, I am absolutely sure that that will mean that we need to evolve the network over the next decade or so. And by obviously having full control of both fuel and convenience, we're in the best place to be able to optimise the network and set it up for the future. We tend to do that as leases come up for renewal. And so that's always an opportunity to reflect on, is this site part of our future or not part of our future, and potentially replace older legacy sites with newer format sites that we're building in the network. Now, we've been using Liberty Convenience as part of that growth channel for the last few years. With this acquisition, we'll have the opportunity to put some of those sites more directly into this Coles Express network to sort of to provide some of those new future-proofed sites and continue to refresh the overall retail network over time. So, you know, that might mean less sites in metro, more sites in regional. We've still got plenty of gaps in our regional network and on main highway sites to continue to fill out. I think that will just continue to evolve naturally as we assess, sites come up for renewal and we assess new site development opportunities.
Okay, it's a tough one, I think. And just to follow up, if I could, just on the numbers, if I look back to Coles, say, first half 20, which is sort of, I guess, under the new arrangements, and they provided a pre-IFRS EBITDA number of $19 million with, I think, 64 million litres per week was the average volume. If I annualise that up, that seems to get to the bottom end of your 45 to 70 million, you know, sort of dollar EBITDA range. What's the rest of the bridge in there, I guess, to the top end? And are there any other sort of pluses and minuses in that calculation we need to think about? For example, Coles taking a profit on wholesale supply, et cetera?
Yeah, I can cover that, Grant. There's probably a couple of things. I think one, our pro forma impacts really relate to last calendar year. So we're looking at the cost and gross margin contribution from store sales for that period. So I think the period that you refer to is probably a little older and will have a slightly different profile in terms of earnings. At the same time, we've talked about, you know, obviously the recovery of volumes driving some of the contribution from the Coles Express business, and as we look forward, you can imagine that we will have the opportunity to experience growth in convenience store sales as well, and some synergies as we look to get off transitional services arrangements and unlock some further acceleration of optimization and investment opportunities in the network. When you look at our pro forma numbers, the way we've calculated them and set them out is such that all impacts of the transaction and our expectation of go forward position, incorporating all the arrangements that are in place and our current transition plans, are taken into account in calculating those numbers.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mark Samter of MST Marquee. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, guys. First question will be surprise, surprise for Jevan on the balance sheet. I presume is that completion for first half 23, just in case you panicked that you might get into a net debt position without leaving that wiggle room. But I saw this morning you've obviously extended the buyback period. I'm curious, why no buyback today? And I guess as part of this question, I know it's going off subject, but maybe Scott or Jevan, if you could give us just 10 seconds on your view on the risks around China exports with refined product.
Yes, maybe let me start on the balance sheet and the buyback. Thanks for the question, Mark. I think that's right. We're obviously heavily net cash at the half year, and we talked about the opportunity to get closer to our target gearing level. While this obviously won't take us all the way there, I think it's a good step in starting to deploy some balance sheet capacity for sensible opportunities that can add value to our business and for things that we think we can add value to over time. So I'm pleased to get this one out and announced. It's great. I think you're right, completion, we've talked about being first half next year, so that's when it'll land and when the outflows will occur. In terms of the buyback, it was more of a procedural item. When you open these buybacks, they have a fixed period of time, a window, and in order to keep them alive, you need to refresh the documentation. So we've done that this morning and expect to keep that current program on foot, and we'll obviously have the opportunity to consider any other programs in the future.
Yeah, look, and on refining margins, markets obviously just a bit of a fluid time moment, as if it hasn't been all year. And the speculation around China is obviously driving a lot of sell-offs and impacting or softening refining margins in the near term. I think, look, we just need to wait to see whether that eventuates and how what the physical actually are will ultimately drive longer-term refining margins as opposed to the speculation that we're seeing in the market at the moment.
Okay, thanks. Can I just ask a question on, I'm pretty sure, and there's lots of retail experts on this call, which I'm not one of, I'm pretty sure Coles disclosed the DNA number for Coles Express. Can you give us any steer on sustaining CapEx when we think about the store refreshes and needed, but maybe they've underinvested in, given they're not going to own them long term? Do we think sustaining CapEx on this business might be more than DNA?
Yeah, I can take that one, Mark. I think it's worth bearing in mind the depreciation and amortization number that was disclosed by Coles includes the impact of their lease assets and lease accounting. So it's not necessarily referable going forward when you think about our underlying results and the way we report, because a lot of the leases, or the vast majority of the leases that Coles have, were subleases from Viva Energy. And so, as you can imagine, they would effectively eliminate when they come back into the Viva Group, and all of the external leases already exist in our balance sheet. In terms of CapEx, there's not a huge amount of CapEx that is spent to support that business. As you know, our existing arrangements under the alliance mean that we carry a reasonable amount of capital expenditure to support that network outside the store in any case. And have been working with Coles on a number of store refresh programs. And so expect to continue those going forward. And I think part of the synergy and growth opportunity allows us to unlock some value by accelerating programs that can continue to grow both the store inside the shop and the forecourt as well. So we'll look to do that obviously post completion, and that's a little way off into the first half next year.
Okay, that's right. Just really quick, sneak in one other quick question, just on the redemption discounts. Is there any change in the funding? And I guess we don't know what the current funding structure is. Will you be funding any of those? And I guess do you therefore bear some cost risk whilst you get the extra volume? But if they go harder on those, do you wear any of the risk on redemptions?
We haven't disclosed the funding arrangements for Docket discounts historically, and again, we haven't today. I think the real positive in my mind is that all of the things that customers can see and enjoy about our sites today, they'll be able to continue to do so under our ownership going forward. So things like flybys arrangements, you know, obviously the loyalty discount with Dockets in supermarkets, all of those programs will continue, and the broad suite of arrangements that we've got in place with Coles to run the network going forward will help a pretty seamless transition from a customer perspective.
I'll let you off for completely dodging my question, Javon. Thanks, guys.
We didn't disclose the funding arrangements, Mark, but I'm excited to be able to continue to offer those Docket discounts.
Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Daniel Butcher from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Might just follow up on the last question and give it one shot. You don't disclose the 4 cent a litre splits, but did they change as a result of this transaction?
So we hadn't disclosed the sharing of the 4 cent Docket discount historically, and we haven't disclosed the way that's shared going forward either. But it's good, I think, both for Coles and for Viva Energy that we're able to keep that in place and continue to offer it for customers. I don't think the funding of it really impacts the customer, to be honest. And like I mentioned in Grant's question, all of the impacts of the go-forward arrangements with Coles have been taken into account in the pro forma numbers that we've published.
Okay. Just elaborating, maybe, could you tell us a bit more about the synergies you expect? It seems like the main benefit is control over your destiny and also avoiding Coles underinvesting towards 2029 as its incentives increasingly increase to dodge capex as it gets towards 2029. Is there anything else that you should call out, or maybe you could elaborate a bit more about how you see that improving?
Yeah, look, I think we're at a natural point where we start to look forward and the investment required in the network will come in a few areas. Certainly investment needed to support the evolution of new energies, EV charging stations and hydrogen for certain, but also the opportunity that we see to kind of take what is a pretty solid and well-performing convenience business and extend it and support the sort of evolving consumer appetite that we see in convenience. And so there is a set of investment required. The ability to be able to get in now and start that journey rather than wait to 2029 is a good opportunity. Is good for us, I think. And as I mentioned before, we take over at a time when there's some more immediate growth opportunities in the next year or two as well from a post-pandemic recovery. So I think, you know, all those reasons it makes sense to step in now. And it's obviously, you know, it's a pretty exciting development for the company.
Right, thanks. A little bit off-piste on the acquisition, but can maybe just comment on landed crew premiums versus product quality and freight premiums? Obviously, landed crew premiums have gone pretty high in the last couple of months. Are you seeing a commensurate increase in the import competition costs, or is that sort of eating into your refining margin?
We sort of covered this a little bit after the first half results. I mean, we have when refining margins are strong, as we've seen in the sort of second quarter and certainly through a lot of the third quarter as well, that product premiums, particularly for the diesel-rich crudes, which, you know, obviously are support chasing diesel cracks, do increase, and conversely, they tend to fall away as the margins soften as well. So I think, you know, it's obviously not it's going to be different from day to day, but in terms of our, that's probably how to think about how those two things track. And what we do in our processes is, as we look to acquire crudes, we're typically buying those, you know, 3 months before we're processing them. We take, you know, take a view about what the market refining margin environment is going to be like in that window, and we have a reasonably active hedging policy to support some of those crude buying decisions that we make, so that we're a bit insulated if the environment turns out to be a bit different than what we expected.
All right, thank you. And just back to the transaction itself, is there any do you have any concerns about coal supply to the stores? What sort of arrangements can you comment on at this point, so that you're confident you'll get a good deal and good service from Coles on the supply side versus other potential suppliers down the track?
Yeah, look, I think the good thing with the arrangements we've got in place are that Coles have been running these stores for almost 20 years now, and I think they've been doing a pretty good job of it. The arrangement that we've got to continue to run the network with their support going forward means that they'll continue to supply the existing products and the Coles branded products in very much the same way that they do today. And so I feel very comfortable about having that arrangement in place. I think it gives us confidence in a smooth transition and also opportunity to continue to optimise and add to the range and the offer going forward. So I think we're starting from a pretty good base from that perspective.
Okay. Finally, this might be a little bit cheeky, but you know, there's a number of ways you can cut the numbers you've given today on the sort of price you've paid, and obviously you've given EBITDA on a theoretical recovery number. I've got my calc, but how would you sort of characterise the EBITDA you've paid for this business?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple of elements to that, Dan. I think one, you've really got to acknowledge the existing alliance arrangements which come to a conclusion in 2029. And when you think about those, there's obviously the payable of $98 million that would get settled at that point, and there's an element of transition and integration costs that we'd be required to incur when that comes around. Relative to that position, we've effectively paid an extra $143 million after considering those working capital benefits that we've achieved. And we've brought forward the earnings potential that we would have otherwise got from 2030 onwards to effectively next year post-completion. And while there's a bit of opportunity to recover mobility and fuel volumes in a post-COVID world, I think there's a lot of opportunity to see more growth from convenience store sales growth, which has been relatively positive over time and outperformed market, as well as a range of synergy opportunities that we talk to, things where we can optimise investment, continue to grow the network, accelerate some of the store refreshes, and obviously see some benefit as we get off transitional services arrangements.
All right, thanks very much. I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Your next question comes from David Errington from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning, Scott. Morning, Jevan. I'm trying to work out, Scott and Jevan, going forward, because the most important thing for me is how important each party is now to each other to make sure that the relationship works in tandem and the relationship works quarterly. How important now, and this is getting on, I suppose, the supply arrangements, but how important really is Coles going to be as a supplier to you? Because let's be frank, convenience store sales really haven't kicked off. They're really only focused on coffee, probably water, bit of toilet paper here and there. So maybe that's a contentious argument you might want to fight back on, but the reality is that convenience, in my view, has been a non-growth area, really, other than core categories such as coffee and toilet paper and water. So how important will Coles be? And then how important is it going forward for you guys to retain the 4 cents off a litre fuel? Because there's a lot of petrol providers without the 4 cents off, don't really need it. It's probably more important for Coles than it is for you. So can you say how important is those current arrangements, how important are they going to be going forward for Viva? And so I'm trying to get at how vulnerable you are to this relationship if something doesn't work out. Because to my understanding, you probably don't need Coles as a partner as much as probably what we might be making out.
Yeah, look, I mean, the relationship is certainly going to be different going forward, but there is still a partnership, which I think is a really good outcome of the transaction. And the partnership is focused on the areas where, you know, the core areas where we can continue to work together. And I think continuing to maintain the current offers in market and achieving no impact on customers is a really important strategic outcome from the transaction. So maintaining the shopper docket discount, maintaining Flybuys redemption, will all make this transition seamless from a customer perspective. And providing, you know, some of the products that customers are used to as well, particularly the Coles brand of products, will also ensure that the customer impact is minimal. So that's been a key focus of the deal. And I'm sure as we go forward, David, there'll be, you know, opportunities that may evolve out of, as we take the business forward, that we can continue to work together in ways that we haven't contemplated today. I think maintaining that partnership will keep those options alive, and they're a great partner to work with, albeit we're in different segments, and there's ways we can cooperate and provide value to customers. So, but yeah, it'll obviously change as we go forward. It's a starting point, and we'll, you know, see where it takes us, David. But I think that the elements of the partnership I've just spoken to are really critical that we maintain.
So they are critical for you to maintain that relationship at this stage. I mean, if Coles, for example, started charging you more rather than, because, you know, they would have been, it was their business effectively, so they'd be getting synergies, if you like. Those synergies no longer exist, so they'll be a wholesaler now to you. So if they go and charge more, you'll be able to get alternate arrangements in place. Is that your line of thinking at the moment, or you're probably, it's still too early days to think of that? Because that's a realistic chart. I mean, you've got to be thinking, Coles, it was their business, they were supplying their own business, so there's synergies to Coles which no longer exist. So you're going to have to assume that it's going to be more costly for you to procure than what it would have been for Coles. That's just reality. I mean, that's just, so how are you, what's in your thinking there? Have you got contingency plans in place that won't disharm your business?
I think, David, the benefits I spoke about before in terms of what the ongoing partnership brings to us are also true for Coles. There's benefits for them and continuing to provide their customers shopper docket rewards. There's benefits to Coles and maintaining product supply through our network. So like any partnership, you know, as long as it works and provides value for both partners, then it will be sustained and prosper. If that was to change and there's no longer benefit for one of the parties, then clearly that will force a review of things in the future. But we're not, you know, we're starting from the perspective that we think there's value in this ongoing partnership for both of us, and we're working hard to make that a reality.
Yeah, there's enough, in other words, what you're saying, Scott, is there's enough in this relationship for them not to screw you on supply of products. It's not in their best interest to do that. That's your message,
yeah,
you're giving us,
exactly.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The partnership's not one way. There's benefits to both parties in the deals that we're continuing with. So,
yeah. A bit of a conceptual question here. You must think of this. I know you do. But let's take the clock forward 3 or 4 years. What can we expect to see from a Coles, not a Coles Express, a Shell store now, a Shell petrol station, that we can expect to see now in 3 to 4 years that we may not have seen had this remained under Coles? In other words, what would be your first priorities, given you're spending $140 million, I think it is? What are the first priorities? So as we as a customer, say, as opposed to a shareholder, but what we would see that would be different than if Coles was running it, so that we can get an understanding as to, you know, what will be the meaningful delta, if you like, to the business improvement by you owning it as opposed to Coles.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, it provides the platform, I think, to build a lot of, you know, new innovations and new products and services. But I think that in the midterm that you speak about, I think the most material opportunity that we get is the ability to really optimize the network more easily than we have been able to this point. So, you know, looking at our network, assessing the strength of each of the sites and determining, you know, which sites need to be what the investment program needs to look like to bring those sites up to a level that supports a much stronger convenience offer into the future. I think that will, the new arrangements by bringing fuel and convenience together allows us to unlock that a lot more easily. It's not to say we couldn't unlock it before, but it's much easier when it's all under one operation and at the front end also to be able to make our own decisions around adding new sites to the network will be unlocked as well. So I think that whole optimization between adding sites and deleting sites and also upgrading the network to support a broader convenience offer is something that we will get on with quite quickly. In the longer term, it's really, supporting transition to new energies, evolving the convenience offer to extend into new categories that provide growth opportunities that we can't access today. Those are more longer term opportunities that we see.
But just specific, Scott, optimise the network. Please, I'm not being rude, but that's sort of like it rolls off the tongue easily. Can you be specific? What will make it better for a customer that they'll buy more fuel from your site as opposed to what Coles were doing? Just to be specific, so if someone asks us the question, what does this add to Viva, we can say, well, for example, you can put a solar panel on a roof, whereas they wouldn't have, or that you'll spend something on this that they wouldn't have. Can you just give a couple of examples that gives a bit of tangibility around it?
Yeah, I think if you drive around, and you probably see that, have your own experience in this, the 710 sites, there's a very wide range of formats, right, from very modern, large format stores that have the full, have ability to accommodate a full convenience offer and have lots of room and pumps for people to access fuel, to some very small format stores that were probably built 30, 40 years ago, maybe even longer, at a time when convenience wasn't a big part of the deal. Now, the ability to assess those, redevelop them or develop them or let them go and refresh the network is actually a very significant opportunity when you look across the broad range of sites that we have across the network. And increasingly be able to provide a more standardised offer across the whole network, we think is a pretty important part of our future.
Mm. Okay. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Jerome.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you'll need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. For the courtesy of others, please limit yourself to two questions only. Your next question comes from Rob Coe from MS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations on the announcement. My first question is just in relation to the point of sale infrastructure and emergency service agreement. Can you just talk to the kind of options and potential cost for separation and setting up your own systems if you chose to do so at the end of the first agreement?
Yeah, sure. I can take that one, Rob. We haven't gone into a lot of detail on that. I think there's a wide range of arrangements we've got in place to transition the business and carry it forward. And as you rightly point out, that includes the point of sale systems and that are in place today, and arrangements with Coles to have them continue to manage payments for us going forward. I'm pretty comfortable with that arrangement that we've got with Coles, and I think it gives us certainty for an extended period of time to run that part of the network. Of course, over time, there'll be plenty of optionality for us, and the way we take that forward will be something we consider. Embedded in our transaction and integration costs is also, some short-term spend for rebranding and developing some replacement IT systems, but it also includes some investment in the future and really building a platform that will help carry this business forward into the next decade and hopefully de-risk or make much more smooth any potential future transition that might occur. So probably early days to go into any specifics around what a change would look like, and really no need or rationale for any at this point, but feel comfortable that over our transition period we'll focus pretty actively on setting up a platform to take this business forward in the most sensible way.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Thank you. And then I guess my next question, which I guess kind of sadly follows on a bit from Mr. Errington's question about the motivations of the parties, I guess Coles gets some very valuable ad space on your forecourts, and you've got the use of the Shell Pectin as well. And those organisations are, very protective of their logos. Are there any kind of material restrictions in your network optimisation plan that flow from that?
No, not at all. I mean, we will obviously rebrand the stores from Coles Express to another store brand that we will develop, and that will be subject to a future announcement. But the Shell brand will continue. We have the rights over the Shell brand until 2029, it will remain a key part of the of this 710 site network with no constraints, you know, other than in respect to how we use that.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Scott Ryle from Remor Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I've got hopefully two relatively quick ones. I'm just looking at the strategic rationale slide number 9, and I just was interested, particularly on the new energy side, Scott, was it possible to actually deal with things like hydrogen and electric vehicle charging under the current contract? So would change have needed to have been made anyway to the current alliance?
Look, Evan, it wasn't something that was contemplated in the original alliance agreements, as you can imagine, which was struck, you know, a long time ago. But that's not to say it couldn't have been, that we couldn't have found a way forward on it. But I think, you know, in this area, this is a good example of a development that is going to require some investment at some point in time. Given our expertise, we're the best place to make that investment. By bringing the businesses together, it just makes that investment a lot easier to execute in a way that makes most sense for us.
Yeah, no, that's what I was getting at. No, I agree. And then the second question, just on brand, and you mentioned that you have the Shell brand until the end of this decade. In terms of, I don't reckon there's been too many brands in terms of forecourt brands that have been different to the fuel brand that I would say have been wildly value accretive. So can you just tell us what, in terms of the contemplation of the brand over the next couple of years, up until when the license agreement runs out, presumably the brand that you pick, given there will only be a few years left until you have certainty over Shell, unless you extend it in the meantime, will the new brand have to contemplate the potential to lose the Shell brand at some stage?
Look, I mean, we've had the Shell brand obviously for a very, very long time. We have an agreement that runs to 2029, as you point out. It's already been extended once before. And as we approach the end of 2029, we'll obviously be discussing with Shell about a further extension of that brand, I would imagine. The sorts of things we consider, and we can consider in the past when we've extended it, is obviously the value we get from the brand, obviously the cost of it, the cost of rebranding and the time it takes to re-establish a new brand and market. So those are sorts of things that we would contemplate as we discuss the continuation of this relationship with Shell into the future. From their perspective, we know it's very important for them to have brand representation in Australia through a retail network. I suspect that will be the case into the future as well. So again, it's one of those partnerships that works for both of us, I think. The store brand will be primarily focused on, you know, how do we want to represent the our position in the convenience market, and making sure that that's something that reflects the direction that we want to take the company, and that's work that we are undertaking at the moment, and we'll obviously need to want to be able to land that by the time we complete the transaction, so that we can commence the process of rebranding the stores.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that does conclude our allocated time for questions today. I'll now hand back to Mr. Wyatt for any closing remarks.
Yeah, look, thanks everyone for joining us today. It's a very exciting day for the company. I think bringing the businesses together at one is the right thing for our organisation. We're the natural owners of both fuel and convenience businesses, as I've said. It's really just the beginning. We've got a lot of work to do between now and completion to manage the transition, and on completion, we look forward to moving forward and really growing the network and redeveloping or retransforming the convenience offer into the future, and continuing to work closely with Coles in the areas where we've agreed to participate. So really great announcement today, and thank you very much for the questions and for joining us for this call.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.